The higher dimensional universes get larger and more numerous as they approach their origin, and they acquire massive increases of creative power the closer they get. There could be any number of creations with infinite dimensions and unlimited universes. They are linear as well as parallel. Each globular hierarchy represents a universe with its underlying counterpart, getting more massive as the dimensions approach their origin. A similar model can be applied to the solar system, with the physical planets represented by the dark dots sitting on the outer surface of the skin, and further into the model are other planets, which have not manifested in the physical solar system. Their counterparts on the non-physical dimensions increase in number as well as dimension the closer they get to their original dot creation dimension, which means there are additional planets in the solar system that don't have a physical counterpart at all. Zero. So on each dimension there are numerous counterparts of Earth, getting larger and larger, so there is never any chance of any overcrowding. Contrary to what the diagram suggests, the dimensions towards the creative center become vaster exponentially. It is best to imagine it as creative trickle-down effect. As the matter becomes coarser and denser toward physical manifestation, the manifestation becomes progressively sparser until we get to the relatively sparsely populated physical universe. Scientists estimate that our visible universe is only 4% of its total. The rest is made out of dark matter. The phrase dark matter indicates simply that we don't know what the matter is. I would rather call it thelite matter, consistent with time model as a representation of multi-dimensionality, which account for the bits science can't explain as yet. The problem science faces is that as soon as it unlocks the mystery of the next dimension beneath the structure of our matter and the universe, it will find another dimension immediately, which is just as hard to penetrate, and so on and on. The only way to solve the mystery adequately is through consciousness with a scientific mindset, but it has got to reach beyond thought. The problem is that when scientists reach that point they will probably, 24C chapter on past life page 5218, understand the relative insignificance of their quest in the light of what they experience. But it's worth trying, from a very human point of view. The comparison is a bit like seeing our galaxy as representing the physical universe and the whole universe with its billions of galaxies as the higher dimensions. But the higher we go into them, the more diverse things become. When experiencing what I referred to as the heavens, I noticed their structure seemed to be formed like an infinite sponge, with one chamber leading to the next, divided only by shifts of awareness rather than space. Although the diagram shows only five membranes, they are in fact subdivided much more than could be illustrated, whereas in the narrative, I subdivided them into six: physical, earth-like, intermediate, higher, heaven, air of pure reality. Pure reality may yet consist of further subdivisions, which may be beyond reach for man at its present evolutionary stage. Also, different parallel universes become accessible the higher the consciousness rises. Space travel is possible already on the next dimension from Earth because the space can be collapsed, but only for the out-of-body traveler at present. To collapse linear time, a still higher dimension is required, and at a lower level only the past can be accessed. 24. As with any theory, interpretations of my experiences are wide open to debate. After all, mine are the observations of an artist rather than a qualified theoretical scientist or mathematician. I would be keen to read out-of-body reports from astrophysicists and other scientists. All they need to do to find the answer is to pose the question when out of their body and allow the magnetic energy of their desire for knowledge to guide them to the right source. Recently, when illustrating a book on deep space, I became fascinated about the question of the origin of our universe. When out of my body I posed the question of how the universe began, I hoped to become the eyewitness to the Big Bang. To my great surprise I was confronted with four sounds. I know that scientifically sounds are the result of waveforms, but are they really? Could there be another dimension where sound creates waveforms rather than the other way around? And what is sound anyway? Sound plays an incredibly important role when visiting the higher dimensions. 219 Appendix B. The superpowers. Very early on in my investigations, I concluded that objective creation exists on other dimensions in exactly the same way as creation exists in the physical universe, regardless of the observer. The idea that we are dealing with vague or vaporous matter, the product of dreams and imagination, is utterly absurd when waking in the actual environment of the higher dimensions. Experiencing firsthand such a vast and magnificent world with such clarity and detachment is just something that cannot be conveyed adequately in words. On the other hand, it is tempting to conclude that because the creative powers of imagination, expectation and intention play such an active part in the shaping of the environment, the next dimension is nothing more than a product of the imagination. But even that doesn't make it any less real to the observer who finds himself inhabiting that dimension. Once the physical viewpoint has disappeared, upon entering the next dimension, we will get accustomed to a totally new experience of reality, one that follows new and exciting laws. My most important observation was that the energy of creation on these higher dimensions is far more pliable and adaptable to various forces than on the physical strata. The major one is the universal force of creation, the same which brought our physical universe into existence. But there are other forces that manipulate the energy in any way they want, as the energy is so much more fluid and dynamic than in the physical universe. Whereas on the physical level we need to employ physical means to shift physical matter, on the levels above one employs mental means to shift time mental matter. But the mental matter is not less real than physical matter is on the physical plane. Not only are those universes not vaporous, they appear extremely solid once the visitor has taken residence there, in the same way as our physical universe appears solid to us. Just because it can be manipulated more dynamically than matter on Earth doesn't make it less real, in the same way at the moment the only theory we have is still the Big Bang. But I am sure we will become more specific as our knowledge increases. 220 That water is not less real than rock because it can be transformed into ice and steam and can be forced into different molds. What really determines reality is a state of awareness. The higher we rise through the inner dimensions and the closer we get to our innermost layer of consciousness, the more powerful the awareness of being and life becomes. From our earthly viewpoint, we prefer to look upon the higher dimension as being flimsy, vaporous and phantom-like simply because we place it firmly in the realm of imagination. In fact, the opposite is the case. Once one has underscore awoke upon the higher planes, earth life appears as a dim dream. The power of consciousness increases proportionally the higher we ascend through the different dimensions. All our sensory powers and human faculties of awareness increase as well. This is why in Buddhism a state of the higher consciousness is referred to as the awakened state. We have to get used to the idea that we are nothing more than universal energy trapped in a dream from which we will awake gradually into our proper life. Another thing we will have to get used to is that our new environment will be much more dynamic and responsive to our thoughts and desires. Quantum scientists are knocking at the doors of the next dimension, and have already discovered that simply by their presence the experimenter has an effect on the behavior of matter on the subatomic level. This is called the observer effect, and research is underway to measure the influence of thought on microscopic growth and crystal formation. If this is the effect the observer has on the relatively coarse physical matter, then it is easy to understand that when we have broken through the barriers of the subatomic structures into the next dimension, these influences are much more pronounced. And this is exactly what I found. In this book are many reports that illustrate this point, like the people in the carnival procession shaping matter, including their own bodies, into extravagant shapes, showing that matter in the next dimension is infinitely more pliable, fluid and adaptable to other energy forms such as intent and creative thought. All this will be exploited to the extreme by us as humans once we take a more permanent residence in the higher dimensions. Being such a very inventive, adaptable and creative species, we come into our own when transcending our physical imitations and boundaries after we die. Our passions and energies are set in motion while still on Earth and enhanced incredibly on the next dimension. 25C Chapter Settlers on Another Planet 221. The inhabitants basically employ five types of power when manipulating the subtle dimensions: the power of intent, the power of expectation, the power of the subconscious, the power of desire, and the power of consensus. The power of intent. I found there are a number of human-induced forces that shape, mold and shift matter on other dimensions. One of them is the power of intent. This creative force allows the inhabitants, including visitors like myself, to manipulate the matter and the world to an incredible degree and to make it conform to any wish we are capable of dreaming up. This underscore gets more intense the higher the dimension. These energies can be so potent that they can even include the apparent creation of other living entities, which I described when visiting the 1920s colonization of an alien planet 25. At this point, it is worth considering the implication of these forces on the environment of the inhabitants. To my great astonishment, I found that not only the thoughts of the permanent residents shaped their environment, but that we, still living on this physical plane, are responsible for some of the features of their world. On one occasion in the late 70s, I was given a guided tour through a very modern hotel by the designer on the next dimension. The modern, mold-breaking design was akin to what you can now find in boutique hotels and in some of the most avant-garde architecture and interior design, but manifested years before anything like it was built on the physical level. It was no doubt dreamed up by the designers of such buildings on the physical level and inspired by the resident designers on that other level. We can easily imagine the kind of paradise awaiting artists, designers, architects and filmmakers over there, where the restrictions of money, materials, manpower, gravity and other earthly limitations simply do not apply. The environments created there are of such astounding creativity, variety and sheer inventiveness, that they would be nigh on impossible to achieve on Earth because of the resilience of our matter and its gravitational laws. 222. But I have never been aware that what I have witnessed was somebody else's creation. The power of the subconscious. Other forces at work on the next dimension are subconscious forces that shape our dreams and nightmares. I am certain that the dream world we enter during sleep borrows its substance from the matter of the non-physical dimension. As I have never actually witnessed other people's dreams, I have concluded that we, as dreamers, create the dream content, which vibrates on a dimension attuned totally to our own vibratory field and therefore invisible to other people. Whether we can enter other people's dreams, I do not know. The power of expectation. Another force of creative power is expectation. On numerous occasions I found that expectation was such a powerful energy it could bring objects into existence almost instantly. When looking down on my body, for example, and wondering what I was wearing, I was always dressed. But I am certain that the power of expectation plays a much greater part in shaping the environment of the higher dimension. It is a power which is based on what we know to be true, and it takes its power from an underlying principle in nature which has proven itself over time and evolution. I refer to it as the Matrix. The Matrix is a cosmic energy pattern containing the blueprint of everything in existence, or even thought of. Simply by expecting something, we conjure up its latent pattern and propel it into existence in an instant. Expectation is such a powerful, direct route to creation because it contains no weakening factors like doubt or indecisiveness. This also applies to motion. The moment we expect to be in a certain place, we are there. If we expect to be dressed, we are in the kind of dress or costume we expect. The blueprint of creation is already dormant. It is etched, or hardwired, into a cosmic matrix, waiting to be conjured up and released into the world. You could compare it to a computer calling up information from its hard drive and then running a program. This principle will become a major point of reliance in the physical sciences of the future, because organizing physical atoms around these laws is only a matter of degree. 223. I have, however, met people who were dreaming. They can be identified by a strange remoteness, sometimes distressed, sometimes agitated, very similar to when we come across people who are daydreaming. I can sense when I meet dreamers who have made their way into the next dimension but are engrossed in a dream. Sometimes they are even involved in some form of activity while dreaming, similar to sleepwalkers on this level. Subconscious forces are energies we carry over to the next world. In the higher planes, they release the energies of lifelong dreams. If we wished for a supercar on the physical world, but were never able to earn enough money to afford it, then the energy builds up in those fantasies and dreams now comes to the fore, and finally our dreams come true. A large part of our future environment is based on our dreams and wishes. Strong energies built up during our lifetime, now set for release and fulfillment. Science can teach us that energy does not get lost, but triggers other events. The events find their manifestation on the next dimensions. On the higher levels, we can all be lottery winners. If you are a reasonably positively charged and motivated person, then your dreams will come true. So you can stop buying lottery tickets and be patient instead. If you nurture powerful dreams, then they will all come true in time. But if you are negatively charged, selfish and out to get the better of other people to further your game plan, keep buying those tickets, because this will be your best chance of fulfilling your dreams. To access the Matrix, you need positive emotions, or you may have a long time to wait. Negative energies also form part of these subconscious forces. On the lower dimension, they can have hideous, nightmarish manifestations, which will create another horrific aspect to the life of the individual inhabitants. The best illustration is that of a criminal who may have murdered or committed an act of violence against another person. The negative energy of his victim, greater than and the suffering, resentment and anger of the victim's family, creates powerful forces that often manifest in hideous and violent artificial entities. Like wishes, these two are energies which accumulate, if they cannot find full expression in this dimension. These will attach themselves to the criminal and unload their viciousness when he or she has the least protection, after death. 224 The power of consensus. We have seen the vast creative as well as the destructive power of the subconscious. But there is another formidable force which has imprinted itself in the next dimensions, the power of consensus, the combined creative force of man, which on this planet has led to the creation of whole civilizations, cities and cultures. Take this to another level, where the physical and economic laws no longer apply, and you can imagine what man might be capable of. The most exciting encounters I discovered was when every aspect, the power of desire in occult literature, the next dimension to our physical one, is often referred to as the desire world. Emotion is one of the predominant and most powerful forces, but our body on the physical with its relatively sluggish and neural system gives us a degree of protection against overwhelming emotions. I also found that a whole new spectrum of emotions opens up to us on the next level, which we may never have experienced before here on Earth. My own experience has been that feelings were amplified greatly. Here they flow freely, and the person who is not in control of their emotions will quickly be confronted with the effects they conjure up. I could easily break into tears of joy on the next level when meeting someone I loved, and then, upon returning to my physical body, find no trace of that emotion. One of the most powerful feelings for man or woman is ecstasy. Once it comes to the surface on the next level, a person is instantly catapulted into the company of like-minded people. I found that these feelings are generally more accepted on the next level, probably because they are such a strong and integral part of our human nature. They are less easily suppressed there and have been more readily accepted as an everyday part of the social environment, but that doesn't mean sex is rampant, because people naturally choose their social environment in much the same way as they do on Earth. Emotional power can create a whole range of artificial entities, which can be beautiful angelic creatures, brought about by intensive love for another person, like that of a mother for her child or between lovers. I can imagine that Cupid and Amor may have originated here. Although their life force is dependent on the will of their creators, they are nevertheless convincing copies of their human creators. More about artificial entities in Appendix C. 225. I once traveled to the higher dimensional counterpart of Thailand. There I came across a water world consisting of thousands of little islands. Each island was occupied by families or groups of people. The atmosphere was very serene. The waterways separating the little islands were illuminated by millions of lanterns, and the rich vegetation and flowers on the earth grew to such heights that the day of creation man had achieved on earth was enhanced exponentially, diversified and elaborated on the next dimensions. There were even creations which had no counterpart anywhere on earth. The combined will of creativity can achieve worlds of such magnificence and grandeur that can leave us earth dwellers absolutely speechless. This communal power can create whole worlds, civilizations that pay homage to us as the masters of the universe. In the physical level, we as a species have achieved great things in architecture, art and culture, but in the absence of physical resistance, and with the pliable and fluid matter of the next dimension at our free disposal, imagination is not hampered by material imitation, and whatever can be imagined on this level is a physical reality somewhere on the next dimension. Some of the cities I saw were tens of thousands of years old, indestructible by the consensual agreement of the people who lived there. In the face of this, we should prepare ourselves for the greatest adventure of our lives at the moment we pass through the gates of death, and yet it very much depends on our own capacity of imagination whether we will be attracted to look forward to seeing such grandiose monuments. It is important, though, to remember the law of attraction. Many of us on this planet make little use of our imaginative powers or our sense of adventure. It is obvious that our afterlife environment will be in keeping with what we expect, that is what we are used to, plus elements of our dreams. The same is to be said about belief systems, which too will create the environment sought by those who subscribe to it. A vast number of people may quite happily settle in environments little different from our physical world, but of course, as boredom sets in, so does the desire to extend the comfort zone. The diversity of our increased power on other levels extends, of course, throughout all cultures. It is important to remember that people of nations with unique cultural heritage will enhance their world in line with their identity. 26 Settlers on Another Planet, page 136. 226 People who are accustomed to going on regular holidays may well feel inclined to spend a few Earth-equivalent centuries exploring the higher-dimensional counterparts of our world when they die. Appendix C. Artificial entities, man-made life forms. The closest we will ever get to creating artificial life forms on this physical dimension is via the construction of robots or nanobots, which we can program to perform certain tasks. The further we advance technologically, the more realistic such artificial entities will undoubtedly become. But imagine being able to create artificial life forms simply by willing them into existence. This is what can be achieved on the other dimensions, as we have seen in a chapter 26 with the alien community who created their staff in this fashion, and even a whole harem of willing concubines. This is a fascinating subject which will no doubt interest a great many out-of-body travelers and those people on the verge of leaving this dimension permanently and who may be looking forward to taking up residence in the next world. Melded seamlessly into the dwellings of the families in their paradise communities. Each island was unique and individual and yet blended with all the others in perfect harmony. There was plenty of singing, music and laughter, and everyone was extremely attractive and friendly towards me. There was no sense of monotony in this environment. As I drifted through the island world with a sense of anticipation, I found myself surprised by the unique character of each of the islands, dwellings and structures. It was a continuously unfolding world of wonder. I could see children underwater, chasing exotic fish and dolphins in the breathtakingly beautiful reefs. I dived in too, I was able to breathe, without any fear of drowning, and encountered a rich underwater kingdom with a multitude of different creatures I had never seen or heard of before. 227 Like the man of the settlers who created his secret cave with dozens of loving and complying women fulfilling his every desire. Though many of us may take exception to this on the grounds of morality, the next world will offer infinite opportunity for the most outrageous imaginations to fulfill their wildest dreams. At this point it may make sense to explain the true nature of such man-made artificial entities. What are they made from? And what keeps them alive? As anybody who has ever written a story or a novel will tell you, soon after they have created a character, it will develop its own personality. But it's not just authors or actors who create artificial entities that are given a spirit by the creator. Everybody is doing it all the time in everyday life. Often, we imagine what another person is like whom we barely know, and we tend to fill our lack of knowledge by weaving a personality around them. This personality, of course, is our own projection. How often do we find ourselves surprised that the person turns out to be quite different from how we imagined them to be? Obviously, we cannot see them in this world, but on the next dimension they are real, and instead of talking to the real person we address our fantasy, unless the real person is a powerful enough force to pierce this fantasy. We feed them with our thought power and keep them alive for as long as we maintain our attention on them. The moment we withdraw our attention, they fade into the matter of that plane and are reconstituted when called upon. So, the appearance of these entities is a reflection of the though wishes, emotions and affections of their creator. The many beautiful lady the settler created for his harem were a reflection of his devotion and love for them and sexual desire. They looked extremely beautiful and developed their own personalities. They interacted not only with their creator, but with each other, and when I met them they even interacted with me, and it was hard to tell whether they were real or imagined. The same was true of the other staff, the chauffeurs, butlers and maids. To me, as an outsider, they appeared like flesh and blood people. It has to be pointed out that this applies in a positive as well as in a negative sense. On the few occasions that I have visited the lower realm, the ability to create artificial entities has had hideous consequences. Evil thought creates evil entities. The folklore of vampires and werewolves may have their 27 Carlos Castaneda, the teachings of Don Juan, A Yakwe Way of Knowledge, and other books by the same author 228 origin here. And these are just scratching the surface of the depths to which human deprivation can sink. I saw evil, hideously contorted entities that even preyed on and tormented their creator, who battled with them continually. They also attacked other dwellers of those realms. For illustration purposes, we only have to look at the horror film genre or at some of our own nightmares to get the picture. They are powerless against people who have no link to these type of vibrations, and even if we encountered them by accident or out of curiosity, we would likely be invisible to them. It is fair to say that our planet is surrounded by a belt of negative energy, thought forms created by selfish and evil-minded people, both living and dead. We have all witnessed them during nightmares, when a weaker part of ourselves has opened itself up to fear. Maybe from watching a horror film late at night or being subjected to real-life torment during the day. At night, fear opens a sympathetic communication line which connects us to the demon belt, which can populate our nightmares with the most hideous monsters and events. People with powerfully positive personalities create their own benevolent artificial entities that make everybody who comes into their proximity feel good. They are ready to help and reach out to anyone who needs them. Some clairvoyants refer to them as angels. They are the faithful servants of their creators, who can send them to anybody who they feel would need their help, and their presence will release powerful beneficial energy on the recipient no matter where they are. Not everybody creates such persistent entities. Castaneda 27 called them allies in his books. Powerful manifestations of sorcerers, who can also destroy the keeper if not properly controlled. All black and white magic makes use of these features of the next dimension. For us earthbound citizens, they have only a very temporary lifespan, sometimes no more than minutes or seconds before their substance is withdrawn by our failing attention. 229 Appendix D. Further study and self-exploration. No doubt many readers will want to find out for themselves what it is like to visit dimensions beyond the physical.